The huge Wallow Fire is still largely burning out of control in Arizona. Crews with the help of helicopters and a large air tanker have made some gains against the fire's northern edge. It's become the nation's number one firefighting priority, with crews in the thousands, on track to become the state's largest wildfire ever. And it's not the only fire in Arizona. There's the Arlene Fire, the Laguna Fire, and in southern Arizona, over 1,000 firefighters are battling the Horseshoe 2 wildfire. The four worst fires in Arizona's history have all occurred in just the last 9 years. And the head of the U.S. Forest Service says we should expect to see more fires like the Wallow Fire. To find out why, we called William Wallace Covington, who's director of the Ecological Restoration Institute at Northern Arizona University. Wally, welcome.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
So what is going on? Why are we seeing more and more big fires?
Well, to understand the shift to more and more larger fires, you have to go back about 120, 130 years in history in the settlement of the West. Shortly after European settlement, livestock grazing was put into place, and hundreds of thousands of head of cattle and sheep and other livestock were put in the mountains up in the ponderosa pine mixed conifer forest. And this heavy overgrazing, actually encouraged by early foresters, stopped the frequent surface fires that once maintained these open park-like forests. So these forests used to burn about every 2 to 10 years or so, many of them. And once that grass was removed, then these surface fires no longer could maintain the open forest conditions. Sometimes the way that I like to think about this is, you know, just as wolves would maintain deer populations, you know, the predator-prey balance, fire would maintain the tree population balance. Once fire was gone, then tree populations erupted, and that set the stage then over the subsequent 130 years for fires to steadily move from the surface into the just below the canopies, the treetops, and then into the treetops, and that's where we are today.
Right, because without the fires burning through, those saplings grow to be huge trees. Tell me when this shift occurred to fighting fires to protect the trees.
Well, by the 1920s and 30s, the Forest Service had a very effective firefighting organization put together, and then steadily from the 30s and 40s onward, they got more and more sophisticated equipment. They hired more and more people, a big workforce to go out in the firefighting professionals. But at the same time that they were building up the firefighting capability, the forests were becoming more and more dense, and not just in local areas, but over larger pieces of the landscape. So in the 1940s, most of the fires in Ponderosa Pine, that was the first time we saw crown fires, really, was about the 1940s.
Crown fires is when the tops of the trees catch on fire.
That's right. And by the 1950s and 60s, they were up to a few thousand acres. By the 70s and 80s, 5,000 to 10,000 acres. In the 90s, we started seeing 20,000 acre fires.
Now we're seeing a dense forest that instead of having 50 trees per acre, there might be thousands of trees, and that's stretching from British Columbia and Canada all the way down to Mexico.
It is, and it's just far beyond the carrying capacity of the land. The land cannot support that many trees in a sustainable fashion. So where we are right now is that instead of the, you know, the fires used to just kill the tree seedlings, keep the forest open, now they're burning up 300, 400, 500-year-old trees and threatening wildlife habitat.
How does the environmental movement play into this? Because some critics, like Republican State Senator Sylvia Allen of Snowflake, Arizona, blame the fires on environmentalists because they brought lawsuits that cut back on logging to preserve forests or protect endangered species.
Well, it's you have to have a somewhat nuanced look at this. The environmental activists were really trying to stop old-growth tree logging, the logging of trees that are 200, 300 years old. That was their main focus. But in trying to do that, they had to attack logging in general. What ecological restoration does and what we try to do is to conserve and protect the old-growth trees and then thin out the post-settlement trees, those trees that have come in the past 130 years, to restore more natural function and then reintroduce surface fire instead of crown fires. And the environmental activists are strongly supportive of an ecological restoration approach, almost to a man.
So your approach is to thin out the brush by setting ground fires every 4 to 5 years and basically leave the older, bigger trees and let the grass grow. But you're also lobbying for responsible logging to help prevent these large forest fires. Is that possible?
Yes, but instead of logging, it's really thinning. Logging usually focuses on the largest and oldest trees. So thinning is leaving those trees that are needed for conservation purposes and removing the smaller diameter trees. And right now we're engaged in a big effort, the Four Forest Restoration Initiative, it's called, that is analyzing 2.4 million acres with the goal of treating in the next 20 years about 1 million acres of that area to try to break up this landscape scale fuel homogeneity so that fires of the size of the Wallow Fire are just no longer possible.
You know, as we watch this Wallow Fire burn, and I'm hearing from you about how dense our forests are and how much at risk they are we too late to make these changes to prevent future large wildfires?
No, I think we can really do this. We've got, you know, Congress has passed the Collaborative Forest Landscape Restoration Act a couple of years ago. We've got big landscape scale restoration efforts throughout the West right now. The science exists, and there's a broad-based collaborative approach now to do these large landscape scale treatments. So I think we're going to be able to get out ahead of it. I have personally kind of a goal of trying to restore about half of the forests that remain. The other half are likely to be burned up before we can get to them. On those, we need to develop a new line of science that really focuses on rehabilitative restoration.
William Wallace Covington is director of the Ecological Restoration Institute at Northern Arizona University. Thank you so much.
I'm glad to help.